All right, Dojo Disciples, Sean Orange here for the final drawing for our Famicom Dojo survey. And the final winner is Jordan. Congratulations, Jordan. You'll be getting an email explaining the next steps in claiming your Famicom Dojo Season 1 DVD. The drawing is over for now, but if you go to famicomdojo.tv/survey and leave us your feedback, we'll keep your name on file in case we open up the drawing again, perhaps for something different. Enough of that, on with the last podcast of 2011.
Nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Happy New Year! We're listening to this on New Year's. So, Sean, how was your Christmas?
Great, probably. It hasn't happened yet.
Oh, yeah, we record these in advance.
Yeah.
I was wondering why I didn't get any presents this year. Okay, there's still hope.
Yeah, we're expecting to be busy over this next week, so we're going to record the show ahead of time, although it's not much before Christmas, a little bit, though.
Yeah, Christmas is right around the corner. I've seen that fat old man sneaking around my house, lying up the chimney.
It's just not Colonel Sanders?
Oh, dear, it might be.
It's going to give you delicious chicken and high cholesterol.
It's hard to know sometimes.
I know, right?
You talk to them and can check the accents. Anyway. So what a year.
Yeah, right? I mean, I didn't know where this year was going to go when it started, and I can't believe where it ended up.
I didn't anticipate that we'd be podcasting right now. What episode is this? We're
33.
33? Yeah. Wow. So for more weeks than not... In 2011, we did a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. We started around early May, actually. And then we actually did a whole bunch at once and then started releasing. So we had like three or four in the can before we even started. And that doesn't even include our intro. So we only wanted to make sure we did this right. And we wouldn't be going week to week without having a show. And sometimes we were successful.
Hey, well, we got a show out weekish.
Yeah, we got a show out every week, even if it was a day late sometimes. But the whole thing about working ahead didn't pan out quite the way we expected, but I think it's worked out fine overall.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good. So, 2012.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to in 2012?
2012.
Other than the Mayan apocalypse.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, I think the thing I'm looking forward to the most is a galactic apocalypse via Mass Effect 3, which will be out in March. So well before the actual apocalypse.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Mass Effect is a galactic-scaled sci-fi RPG slash romance sim where you get to bang hot aliens and blow up civilization-destroying monsters called the Reapers. So... that's pretty cool.
It sounds pretty cool. Yep. I still haven't played any Mass Effect.
Well, you know what? You don't have to because for Powat TV, I've done a whole bunch of Mass Effect videos.
Oh, so I don't actually have to play the game.
Well, I think it would encourage you to want to play the game because it's really brief overview stuff. It's not like, you know, people put up clips and everything, and I don't do that. Good.
If I could win without playing, I'd assume the game was made by Square Enix.
Oh, I heard something about Final Fantasy 13 too, actually.
Bomb. I mean, like, it's a bomb on a slightly different scale. Like, they sold 500,000 copies in the first 2 days.
Yeah.
Now, if we sold 500,000 copies of the Famicom Dojo DVD in ever... I don't think that would be considered a bomb.
Not in the least, but our production costs for that DVD were probably way lower.
But it is the lowest opening for what's considered a mainline Final Fantasy game ever.
How is a sequel to a mainline game considered a mainline game?
Okay, maybe it isn't a mainline game, but I think it's more of a mainline game than Final Fantasy XIV
or Final Fantasy XI. That doesn't make any sense.
Because... Well, if you considered Final Fantasy XIV a mainline game, I think that sold like tens and tens of copies.
Oh.
You know, it was buggy, you know, problematic.
Is 14 an MMO?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
So maybe, like, really, maybe I don't Final consider. Fantasy 13-2, have you noticed they always put out a 10-2 and a 13-2 right before they put, I mean, right after they put out a crappy MMO that people go, oh, that shouldn't have gotten a number.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
You know, they're like, when they put out 11, everyone's like, and they're like, no, look, here's a real game. Oh, okay, thank you.
Actually, I don't know. I know one person anyway who like met his girlfriend playing Final Fantasy XI. So there's some good to come out of that, and we all like her. So,
well, Final Fantasy XI, well, not a spectacular game, was much better than Final Fantasy XIV from what I've heard.
Oh no!
Just because it didn't have like horrible bugs and unbalanced play.
Right.
Maybe at first it did. It's had a lot of years to grow.
I find I don't like MMOs in general. I played City of Heroes for a couple of years, or a year and a half or so. I guess that's free to play now. And since I put in so much paid time into it, I've been grandfathered in. Apparently, I haven't checked this myself, but I've been told I've been grandfathered in with like all the costumes and stuff on the server I used to have and everything I've earned. Whereas, wow, like a new player gets like two slots, and then they have to pay for the privilege to get certain costume upgrades and more slots, et cetera, et cetera. You know, if they want to do the free version versus, you know, the typical monthly subscription, yeah, which, you know, it really is just like a huge time sink. I think I much prefer the BioWare games because they're like MMOs, but they appeal to me in that I don't like playing with anyone.
They're like MMOs for shut-ins.
right. Which is funny because like Mass Effect 3 is going to have this multiplayer aspect to it, which could be interesting. So
MMOs are already for shut-ins. But anyway,
aren't all video games for shut-ins in a way? Oh, we're just going to get angry emails now.
A bit. But the
problem I'm going to have playing Mass Effect 3, it's maybe not so much a problem, is that it's going to come out right around when my firstborn child is due.
What a problem.
It's such a huge problem.
I know.
Why can't BioWare change the release date for me?
Why can't your wife change the release date?
Maybe she will. Maybe he'll come earlier.
Yeah, because by about 1 month, babies can pretty much take care of themselves.
Yeah, I think so. No. So like, I've talked to some people who actually think this is a really huge problem for them, and they're not looking forward to having kids yet for that reason. But, you know, I say it in jest. But I've had people, like, seriously tell me, well, you know, you can play this game while you watch the kid or whatever, if you, like, stay up late. And I'm like, I don't think I want, like, some, like, my child's first exposure to the world being me shooting up mechs and other humans and giant crawfish.
2012, I think the thing you should be looking forward to most is Sean Spawn.
Yes. In the world of non-video games, this as of yet untitled release, of course, is the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
Release date to be announced.
Yeah.
In the newspaper, probably. Yeah, afterwards.
Oh yeah, it'll be in the paper, some local Madison paper, maybe the Onion. I guess not local to Madison anymore.
But I mean, I don't know. Your gaming's gonna take a hit for a while when you get the kid, but you're not gonna care so much.
Well, yeah, I agree. And my gaming's already kind of taken a hit, and I care a little. I haven't finished Skyward Sword, for instance.
I mean, the other day, like my daughter drew a picture of her and her and me together. Like,
aww.
Yeah, her and daddy.
Were you holding a 3DS or an iPad at the time?
And she was holding it up, whatever. And of course, I was like, "Hey, I'm playing Infinity Blade 2 right now. Get out of the way!" No, of course not. Put down the game, and you go, "Wow, that's a great drawing."
But you were playing the game, and that's the important point.
That's what you took from this story. You can play games between pictures. Okay. Yeah, but no, having a kid is great. And when they get a little older, they can play games with you.
Right. But as for one is a point of contention between me and my wife right now. So.
Oh, I see.
So
well, the great thing about kids is they may or may not be able to play games with you.
Yes, or they may not even want to. Shock horror.
Well, that doesn't even make sense.
No, I know. Who would even do that?
I know. Anyway, so another thing I'm looking forward to in 2012 or 2013, 2014. Yeah. I don't know. The Wii U. Does anybody know when that thing's coming out?
Oh, come on. I have no reason to think it won't come out by, like, holiday 2012. I've heard people say this, that they're like, young Nintendo's like, well, why would you miss the Christmas window for that? Why would you release it in 2013? I don't know what they're reading that's making them think this, because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's the thing. But we haven't seen it.
We haven't seen anything, so they're just speculating wildly for no reason.
But, like, it's easy to speculate when you haven't seen anything. You know what I mean? We haven't seen final hardware. We haven't seen any game screenshots at all. Not one.
Well, I guess.
How close to completion is this? Because it doesn't have to just be done. Because once it's done, it requires a machining process that'll go on for several months.
Sure, sure. But, you know, there are shops that are working on Wii U games right now.
Have we seen any screenshots? I mean, no, they're definitely working on them. But did they even have finalized hardware specs?
I don't know.
That's the thing.
Well,
now, I hope it comes out in 2012.
How hard can it be? It's just two Wii's duct taped together, right?
I know, but it's really hard to locate that much duct tape. And actually, I know you're not a hardware guy, but you probably don't understand this. But actually, the process is more complicated. It's actually four GameCubes duct taped together.
You know, I already have three here. Maybe I just need to get a fourth one, and I'll be good to go. Oh,
with
my.
An iPad tacked on.
Yes, right. Yeah, maybe it's wireless though, so you need the. No. I really am okay. So I guess I'm not looking forward to this as much as say the Wii when it came out, or even as much as the GameCube, to be honest, because we don't know a lot. Yeah, by now we would know more, but I'm predicting that by E3 we're gonna know a heck of a lot, and everyone's gonna be sad that they ever doubted it. Essentially, because that's kind of how this stuff goes.
Do you think Nintendo's gonna beat Microsoft to the market?
Oh yeah, well absolutely.
By a wide enough margin where it's important.
It's gonna be at least a year, I think, because you know, despite rumblings, neither Microsoft or Sony has announced anything.
Yeah. They haven't announced it, but I've heard that people are getting preliminary specs.
Sure.
In order to start devving some games.
Sure.
So.
Right.
We don't know a lot.
But yeah, in a way, Nintendo's kind of got a leg up because they didn't go HD this last generation, so they have a larger space they can move into. Where it'll be a bigger deal for the games that they can release. Whereas I don't know where Sony or Microsoft can go without
HD Plus. Well, Sony's 3D, I mean, I guess. Not just in games, but in everything. Sony's kind of pushing 3D.
Right, right.
So yeah. I think they're going to continue to push that.
Yeah, the PS3 can't do like 1080p or 1080i 3D, so maybe the next system will be able to handle that. But I don't know. I saw some graph about how the 3D fad kind of peaks and troughs every 30 years, and 2010 would be one of those years, whereas I think the last time it happened was like 1930, or the first time it happened was like around 1930,
you know,
1900.
I gotta give it to the 3DS though, because it really made 3D that didn't require any junk.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like everything else requires glasses. Absolutely, like, everything else.
Once they make an HD TV that doesn't require glasses, and they've got them now, but it requires you to sit in this like one tiny spot in your house.
Mm.
Like all the people watching to the right and left of you aren't seeing 3D; they're seeing jumbled nonsense. You know.
Right.
Once they figure that out, which I don't know if they can, other than maybe with holograms or something. I don't know, but I know Nintendo figured it out because it's like, yeah. We only need one person to see this. It's a portable system.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was just having like visions of maybe like they're speccing out the Wii U so we can do 3D also, possibly with glasses, so that you can use your tablet have kind of like a 3DS in large scale. But it's like, what would be the point of that?
It would add a lot to the cost, though. It would cut into their 3DS. Yeah. You know. So
right,
I don't
right.
think they will.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I still maintain they might go the other way with trying to make the 3DS somewhat compatible with games, since I really feel like the controller is so much like what a 3DS could be if you add that thumbstick on.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. I think Nintendo's sitting pretty for this year. Okay, Vita launched last week in Japan.
Right.
And it was outsold by the 3DS.
Wow. Oh, that's terrible.
I mean, not by much. Just a little bit. And I mean, it's a more expensive piece of hardware.
Well, it wasn't at first.
Well, yeah. Nintendo really, you know, in a move that a lot of people went, oh, Nintendo. Now everybody's going, ah, Nintendo.
Right.
Including me. I was one of those doubters. If you rewind to our podcast, I'm like, Nintendo, Nintendo, Nintendo. But, I mean, they did a 1-2 punch. They made the system fairly cheap, and they got Monster Hunter. And for Japan, Japan's like, okay, I'm in.
And I know lots of people.
Vita came out, no game sold more than 100,000 copies.
Oh.
Include Ridge Racer, which is like Ridge Racer downloadable content to even play it edition. Luckily didn't make the top 10. You know that version I played at TGS?
Yeah.
I think this might even be in the video. I'm like, I didn't really try many tracks or many cars, but the version I played, I thought was a demo because it had almost no cars or tracks.
Oh, really?
Now I'm thinking it was the full version.
Oh, no.
It doesn't have many cars or tracks because everything's downloadable content.
Okay. That's interesting. Hardly freemium. Like, if you're paying for this, do you download the game itself, or do you buy the game and then download more for it?
You buy the game and you download more.
That seems like a losing proposition.
It's not freemium. It's premium plus.
Premium plus. Oh, it's like, goodness.
You've spent all this money for the game.
Right.
And now you can buy more.
Well, I mean, you know, that it's not too far off from the current DLC model, but if the game is so bereft of features in the first place that you can't just have a good experience playing it, then that's a problem.
Exactly. I am fine for DLC that comes on to add more to the game. I think the DLC that comes most to my mind is Valkyria Chronicles.
Yeah.
God, I really hope I'm pronouncing that right. But anyway.
Yeah, that's the way I've heard people say it.
The game is epic, and it has tons of content. It was worth the whole $60 I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a great game. And then they had on the PSN network, like, you could pay $5 and you could get some additional chapters, like additional battles and stuff like that. And gladly I paid for that.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that was a value to me. But like, horse armor, you know, I'm
horse armor. Yeah, I'm I think like that, and like the way that Dragon Age handled a lot of their content, or at least some of it was the way to go, because in the case of Dragon Age, the stuff I liked the most was I didn't get that yet, actually. I did watch Redemption, and anyone who's been to the website saw that, you know, I was posting like reviews and just general comments that I had written for Powit. So all six episodes are there if they want to see it. So, you know, written from the perspective of like a big fan of the Dragon Age and Dragon Age 2, from what I've heard, it got some people to be interested in the games, which I think was the entire point of, you know, letting her do that in the first place. And she's an Uber fan and all that. But no, I'm more referring to there's DLC that's kind of side stories and doesn't really take place in the main game. And I'm so enamored of the Dragon Age world, I played it gladly. You know, there's still the standard stuff where there's like extra missions in the game and there's extra stuff you can get, but mostly it's about story additions, and I like that the most.
Well, that's good. That I think that might be one of my New Year's games. I mean, my Christmas New Year game is the first Dragon Age.
Oh, wow. Yeah, go for it.
Ben Ryan said he's not going to be around Japan, and he beat the game anyway. He said he'll loan it to me over Christmas break, so.
Awesome.
I'm going to. So. Which is the superior game of, is it one or two?
Oh, one for sure.
One for sure. Okay, that's what a lot of people said.
I mean two. Really, Dragon Age 2 in my mind was Dragon Age Awakening.
Okay, how many hours does it take to beat Dragon Age?
Oh dear, I want to say I put about 40 hours into a playthrough before I had all the DLC, and maybe more like 60 with. DLC.
Might be my game of 2013 as well.
Well, I mean, it it depends. There's stuff that you don't have to do, and I like to do everything, and I like taking my time. There's missions that you can go on for your companions to get to know them better and to just have more cool stuff to do. Not all of it's necessary, and in fact, if you don't even pick up some characters, which is possible, or something happens to them along the way, then you don't even get to play it. So it tailors itself to your experience and how you want to play the game, essentially. And if you're like me, you want to see it all, but there's no way to get through everything that's in that game with one playthrough.
Okay.
So.
Good to know, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's called Origins because there's essentially six fairly distinct origins you can have for your character coming into this world. And there's a section of the game that you can play that's unique to that origin. And going through the game like once and then coming back and playing through that specific section for the other five might be enough. You don't have to go through the entire game to get the whole thing, but you'll see like little pieces of story because it's a very, very robust world. And I can go on about that forever, but...
I don't know if I have enough time for this now.
Oh, no. Well, just don't worry about it. Just play it the way it is.
Okay, so 2011 for Famicom Dojo. You got any stats for me?
Yeah, I got some stats for you.
All right.
Easily the most hours of content in a single year, and that's largely due to the podcast. It's not really hard when you got like 30-plus hours and 33 episodes. Some of them weren't quite an hour long, but...
What if we took out the podcast?
If we took out the podcast, we have more individual videos than any other year, and that's largely due to the fact that we went to Tokyo Game Show.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, it was the first time we went to Tokyo Game Show together in 4 years.
Which
is crazy.
We still got videos that need to come out from.
Yeah. Oh, there's still so much content left, and really it's just a lack of time to put it together. And I was starting to worry that it wouldn't be relevant because a few things have gone up, like close to the release date of actual games and stuff that people haven't watched a whole lot. But I was super surprised. Like people like were really into like the Street Fighter Cross Tekken stuff, even though it came out. I released a video like 2 months after the show.
Yeah.
And Monster Hunter continues to be our most popular video from that, and our third most popular of the entire year, honestly.
Yeah, that's great.
So even the total minutes of stuff that we've released just in 2011, like dwarfs, well, it doesn't dwarf, but it's bigger than last year. Even though we had, you know, people are like wondering what happened to the episode. You know, we didn't do any Denshi Mail this year. We had two specials. You know, so as far as like our strictly original content, we've had two videos that amounts to about half an hour between them. But
yeah, but you know, we're mostly done on another one though.
So. Yeah. So there's we were trying to get one out before the end of the year. It's not going to happen. Just because of scheduling conflicts, but it'll be out in January.
And it'll be good.
It'll be so good. But should we go into next year, or should we talk about this year still? Because that would have been a good segue.
let's talk about next year, because I think we've talked about this year a lot, and like it's been very different for Famicom Dojo this year.
Definitely.
I think it's been good.
Oh, very good.
And we've gotten a great response to it. So let's move on to next year, because next year is going to be even better.
Oh, absolutely. So the first thing that's going to happen, like literally the first week of the year, I'm going back to MAGFest. Maybe I'll run into Spoonie and he'll be a good sport and cameo in a video I want to make.
Okay.
anyone who's seen the not Spoonie video I put up this year will understand, and if not, well if it gets made, we'll make sure that you know.
I don't know if I totally understand. You're not actually talking about spoons, right?
No.
I better watch that video.
So MAGFest, like a lot of the people from that guy with the glasses.com go there, a lot of the reviewers. So in fact I convinced Juwario to help me out with interviewing, well, this is from last year yet, interviewing a bunch of guys with magnificent beards, and I never finished the video because we were working on the Power TV.
So we don't get Famicom Dojo videos. beards and the spoonies and the Teddy Grahams.
Oh, yeah, the Teddy Grahams. Yeah, that was from BotCon this year. Yeah, you know, there's... Because, you know, I don't just do Famicom Dojo. I do a lot of Pow at TV stuff. So I've been going to conventions, and I release daily video diaries, which, you know, was good practice for Tokyo Game Show, because that was... We put out so much more content for that show than any other show that I've ever been to, and certainly as Famicom Dojo. But Justin and I teamed up to interview all these guys, and it's so funny, but I just didn't get finished with it because we were working on the Power TV Awards at that time, which didn't get released until a couple weeks ago. And then we started working on the 3D special, and then I went on my honeymoon, and then all kinds of stuff happened, so I never got around to it. But I figure it'll be a good promo for what to expect. I won't be alone there this year. I'll be with Syndra, who guest hosted for the What Nintendoed episode and has shown up here and there, and also was on this podcast about women in gaming. So Hail to the Spectre, episode 24, I think. Yeah.
The one where I had lost my voice.
Yes. I think... Did we include a clip of you talking at the end of that? I think it's like a little Easter egg of you actually trying to talk to us.
One does exist, though. It was pretty rough.
Oh, goodness.
So,
yeah.
I have a mission for you for MAGFest, though.
A mission, okay.
Okay, I want you to seek out Jewario and his crew.
Yes.
And ask them. I know you're going to be nervous, but
yeah.
I want to be BFFs with them.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Because I like the stuff that they do, and I like the hat.
Yes, the hat is nice.
And I don't know. I've been watching some of their videos and stuff, and I hope they like us as much as we like them. So see if we can do the BFF thing. Just for a year, you know.
Just for a year. Okay.
Like how Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert were BFFs for... Well, they were like 6 weeks or something.
Oh, wow. Maybe we can go longer. I think so.
I don't know. But we don't have to become arch enemies at the end of it. I'd like to do a video with those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who haven't been watching the videos that we put out, and, well, why the heck are you listening to this podcast then? Justin, a.k.a. Jewario, did cameo for us, as well as Mexican Waluigi. And Syndra again for our second episode of season two, and that was a year ago. Can you believe that?
No, I cannot.
I know. So, he's already a fan of the show. He said, and it's like I'm not sure if I want to believe him, because it's like, nah, no, you're your own guy.
What does that even mean? Okay,
what does it mean? It's like it's like if I don't know. It's like if Steve Buscemi walked up to you and said he was a big fan of your work.
I guess. But I mean, Steve Buscemi does stuff like that. If True. I was Steve Buscemi, I would just walk up to people randomly on the street and go, "I'm a big fan of your work." You know, because you like run into a carpenter and you'll go, "Did I build his house?" Or you know, it would.
What
you know, and like if you were a waitress, you'd be like, "Huh." If you were an aardvark.
I ate those ants, but good.
I know, and Steve Buscemi appreciates things like that.
What
so Steve, if you're listening right now, we appreciate you too.
Yes. I actually haven't watched a whole lot of Boardwalk Empire, but it's one of those things on my to-do list for 2012.
Did you download or watch or buy or rent or acquire The Walking Dead yet?
No, I will have to catch up on that as well.
Do so.
People have already commented in previous episodes, exasperated that I haven't watched the show yet. I don't know what to tell you. I'm finishing up watching Community again to get through the withdrawals of its indefinite departure. So
no, la 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 la.
Listen, that's something else I'm looking forward to in 2012 as well. You never know what might happen. Maybe it'll come back in the summer or the fall. So I'm holding out hope against hope. 2012, the rest of season three of Community, and possibly a season
one more year. Need one more year. They have to graduate.
Yeah, they have to graduate. Well, you know, Glee, they're graduating next year. Or is it this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love how they rip on Glee all the time.
Well, who knows? Maybe it'll pull out Arrested Development. That's coming back.
Right, 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 right. Yep. Netflix.
At least they say. Then again, it's been coming back for a long time.
It's hard to believe, but that show is not new. The last season was many, many years ago.
But you know what? The Saddam Hussein jokes are still fresh.
Yeah.
Can't get enough Saddam Hussein jokes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was definitely a show from a different era.
Anyway.
Yeah, so,
speaking of a different show.
Yes.
So, Famicom Dojo Video is going to go through some changes, isn't it, in 2012?
Yes, partly due to the fact that we did only release two specials this year. But also...
Those specials were hard to make.
Oh, No. They were some of our most complicated shows that we'd ever done, and rightfully so, because the 3D special is one of the most watched shows. It's like the number 11 most watched video on our channel. Yeah, and it's quickly becoming number 10, so it'll be there in a couple of weeks or months, I think. Awesome. Something that has been watched even more than all of those things combined is something I put together about 2 years ago. And yeah, I guess about 2 years ago in February, an 8 second clip that I put eight seconds on the Some Orange Guy channel I set up for just such things.
Okay.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, that would be your GameCube sound sped up.
Yep. There was some guy in like the NintendoDB forums figured out that if you sped up the GameCube menu music several times into the double digits here, he did about 20, I think.
Yeah.
That's
like the
The Famicom Disk System startup music. And who has time to figure that out? Like,
who has time to put a video together about it?
Well, I did. It took about an hour all told. most of it just trying to figure out. Once I sped it up, how to make sure it was loud enough, because every time I did it, because I can only do it like 400% at a time, every time I did it, it would get quieter and quieter. So I actually had to speed up the sound separately from it, from the video, and then add it back into the video.
And you got how many thousands of hits for this video?
As of last reckoning, 316,000. So it passed the 250,000 mark this year. Yeah. So-
More than any of our videos
More than like the entire first season put together. More than the entire first and second seasons put together.
But here's the thing, though, Sean. It was just a bite-sized little video that accomplished a certain thing.
Right.
You know, someone's like, GameCube sounds sped up. Yes. What's that? Okay, there we go. Because, you know, lately our episodes have become epic. We cover like a lot of stuff and in increasingly elaborate ways, but I think the GameCube thing is right. We need to put out more videos more often in kind of bite-sized chunks.
Yep, I think you're absolutely right, and that's why that is precisely what we are going to do. So we have a list. We hope to get through most or all of it next year. And
there's like 20 items on it.
I know, right? And We've proven, you know, just through the TGS stuff, that people will watch it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to produce that way when all the stuff's just already done. So this GameCube thing is on that list because even though it's just 8 seconds and there's like the description explains exactly what's going on, people will watch it and not read the description and not understand what they're seeing. So they'll make weird comments like, "Oh, funny dancing cube, ha 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 ha." It's like, no, that's not it. And then they think the music's
sorry,
like...
That was me. I left that comment.
Yeah. Yeah, you and about 100 other people. Yeah. But, like, there's that. People think it's a Taka song, which it isn't. People think it's a song from some other game, which it isn't. I mean, unless, like, they associate the Famicom Disk System startup music with a specific game, which is entirely possible. But, I mean, you know, of course, the FDS being a Japanese system, you know, this video was watched by a lot of people in Japan. And since there's no, you know, language barrier components to it, it was much, much easier for them to get a hold of it and understand what they were seeing.
Yeah.
So we we can't really bridge that gap, unfortunately. But I think through a visual format change as well that we will maybe be able to better demonstrate stuff across that language barrier. And I would love at some point to actually do translations, but that's who knows.
That's the future. But I really hope that this year will hold some specials too, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, I like
our epic videos, but yeah, we need to put content out, get it out there and let people see it.
Yeah. Another thing we haven't done so much is like move forward in time a whole lot. So if we hadn't covered like a system in the past, we didn't discuss it essentially. Like there's like no N64 stuff. There's no GameCube stuff. There's no Wii stuff. Except for like the specials, like the launch, yeah, like the Wii launch day. And we've mentioned the Virtual Boy, but haven't gotten around to it yet. Like this podcast has proved that, you know, we can talk about contemporary stuff and tie it into retro gaming in interesting ways. And we can do that for our videos as well.
I guess the main thing I want to say is thanks again to everybody who listens.
Yeah, absolutely. But
everybody who's left a comment. They've helped us so much this year, and they've really kind of shaped where this program is going. Originally, we were going to do this like a 20-minute little thing every week.
Yep.
But it was the comments that went, can you please make it longer? My commute is too long, or I need another laundry cycle. You know,
that blows my mind.
We were like, whoa, people actually listen to us. We have, what, 11 comments now on iTunes?
Yeah, 11 comments and like 16 ratings, which isn't, you know, like phenomenally huge, but we got most of those in the last few months. And, it's because, you know, you know, we've asked you, and you listeners have been kind enough to acquiesce and, say wonderful things in the process. So it would be fantastic if you could continue to say wonderful things. And if you haven't said anything wonderful yet, please consider it, because that's how people learn about the show and grows the audience and make sure that we can keep, you know, doing this week after week and bring it to you guys, because the more people hear it, the more, you know, what am I trying to say, Vink?
You know, the bigger, the more people we can reach, the more enthusiasm we're going to have for it.
Definitely. And the more enthusiasm you're going to have, hopefully.
And not just that, but like, I know a lot of you I listen to a lot of podcasts, you know, but I've never once sent an email to Ira Glass.
Right.
Hey, that was great. That was a great show.
Right.
But
actually,
when you quoted this, you know, no.
Well, no, that happens. People correct us all the time. And
corrections are really good because, you know, we're learning too. But I mean, I've never sent an email to a podcast or left a message on the forum for any cast. So I guess I would assume that no one would read them. But in this case, if you leave us a comment or send us an email, there's a good chance that you'll get a personal response from us.
Yeah. It surprised people in the past so far. And then, you know, we even mentioned you on the show occasionally if you're a particularly consistent poster and have really interesting things to say. So I like being accessible, I guess, and it's something that we can't do with the videos so much.
Can I share something that sounds a bit lame? Is that okay?
I don't know. This is an awesome show. I don't want you to lame it up too much.
It's only a little lame.
Okay.
After we put out a week's episode of the podcast, then it's like, it's that kind of giddy time, and you're like, oh, who's going to comment?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, Crane Lit's on. Yeah. That's good. You know, the regulars posted, you know, we're looking for those because I don't know. Maybe we should put a couple just mistakes in every podcast just so people try to catch them.
How do you know we don't do that already?
The Famicom was put out by Sega in 1836.
Well, you know, the Nintendo's just a small gray box that are meant to amuse the aristocracy, so no more than can make jokes at their expense.
Yeah.
8-bit wood burning system. I want to do that again. I mean, that was the first video we put out that people didn't have only good things to say about it.
My wife threw out that sweater, though, so I don't think we can make old man videos anymore.
Well, the old man, I'm sure, wears more than one sweater.
Have you met the old man?
he walks around topless.
Alright. But again, thank you, viewers. And my questions for this week, this is what I'd like to see you comment on.
Yes.
What are your resolutions for the new year?
Yes.
Like, what game have you been putting off that you're finally going to play? Or what do you hope happens in the world of gaming in 2012? Like, your so I want predictions, resolutions, and of course, as always, suggestions. Is there anything is there any direction you'd like to see Famicom Dojo go this year?
Yeah, video or podcast or video something or podcast. Else.
What do you want to see? Have you ever been watching our show and went, I wish they would have covered ... Because we'll do it.
Is there anything you'd like to see on the website, too? Because, you know, what we've put on there, it just occurs to us. No one's really given us much feedback about the site. So I know for a fact that the people who watch the videos and listen to the podcast combined, like, you know, they don't all visit it. I just know that. So, So if you haven't been to the site, check it out and, you know, see what you can find there. And if there's anything you'd like us to do more of, or you think there's something missing that we should do, let us know and we'll try and do it.
All right. Well, I think that's really all I've got.
Yeah. Well, so, goodbye 2011. You've been a fantastic year. More or less, you know, apart from the whole nuclear disaster in Japan thing.
It was rough. It was rough. Actually, in Japan right now, we're not – of saying that's similar to Happy New Year. It's like Akemashite Omedeto. Mm. You know, it's for the new year, like congratulations. But like a lot of the New Year's cards don't have that saying on this year because it was a hard year.
Yeah.
You know, so there – It's a lot more subdued this year. Yeah. It really is. Japan is still kind of in mourning about that, and if a member of your family dies, you know, you're supposed to have like a mourning period,
yeah,
in Japan, yeah, where you don't attend like parties and things like that. You know, if you're devout, I suppose. I guess not everybody does it, but it's like the whole country's kind of going through that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, like, for a long time after the disaster, like, you didn't see many happy television commercials, if that makes sense.
Oh, sure, yeah, and that's like the hallmark of Japanese TV for me, is not seeing that would be weird.
I mean, it's coming back now, but for a while, everything was really kind of, really kind of somber, like, sure, the programs toned down. You know, and they tried not to show anything like speed eating contests went away for a little while because some people didn't have any food, you know?
Right.
And like beer ads went away for a while. It was like, it was interesting because it was like the country didn't want to make those who had suffered feel worse.
Sure.
It was really strange. Things are pretty much back now, but I think, through the next year, probably until the first anniversary of it, things are a little different in Japan. But like, that said, a lot of good things happened this year around the world as well. So,
mm-hmm.
let's just hope 2012 is just a fantastic year and that the world doesn't end.
Yeah, I think there's only 350.
Was it going to happen around December?
December 21st. So
I don't know if I'll finish Dragon Age by then. Stupid end of the world.
Well, maybe if you defeat the Archdemon, the world won't end.
Wow, that's a big draw to that game.
If you log enough hours and BioWare sees it.
With that, we're really looking forward to hearing your comments. And of course, if you've got something interesting, record it. Send that in too. We're always looking for people to cameo in our podcast.
Yep, you can record an MP3 and send it to us. You can make a video response on YouTube. You can call us at 608-492-1923. And it'll be digitized already, so we can just snap it right in there. Yeah, so, you know, be part of our show. That's what we're here for.
So if you have some really good resolutions or stuff like that in one of the episodes of next year, let's read some of those, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So be forewarned, submission does mean that we will use it royalty-free, blah, 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 blah.
Unless you're boring.
And then we'll just read it and give you a nice response and never talk of it again.
Anyway, happy. Merry Christmas. No, it's after Christmas. Sorry. I forgot that this is the future.
Yes, yes.
Happy end of this year going into the new year.
Yes. Happy what you say.